Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
How many of you think that it's very difficult to trust someone when you don't first know their character? It's true, eh? You won't buy a car from a salesman when you are questioning the integrity of that salesman and his character, right? Yeah. Amen? Some of you had and thought, I wish I knew his character before I bought the car. So today I want to talk about how Jesus is trustworthy and worthy of being followed. Because if we don't fully trust who he is or fully know his character, we're going to have a difficult time boldly following him and doing what he asks us to do. So if you're ready for the word, repeat after me. My heart's open. My mind's ready. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God, may we forever be changed. We live in a world that doesn't trust anyone. Come on. I mean, I have trust issues. You know, I don't even trust the GPS in my car because it led me into some weird places saying that it was the shortest way there. And I went through parts of the city that I really didn't even know existed. So I think, you know, and I'm not the only one. I don't think I'm the only one who has trust issues. In fact, they've done studies and found that right now the world has the lowest recorded trust levels. We don't trust medical institutions. We don't trust politicians and the political arena. We don't trust our educational systems or our religious institutions. We just don't trust anybody, and for good reason. And some of us have trust issues because of past trauma. We've been hurt. Somebody promised something and it didn't come true. And if we're not careful, trust issues with the culture will become trust issues with God in our lives. And we can't follow God if we don't trust him. A.W. Tozer said this: what comes through our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes through our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about God? Because that is the most important thing about you. You got to know that. Jesus knew that this would be something really important to us as his followers, to know who he is. And so in Matthew 16, there's a story there, and it starts like this, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples a question. Now, to give you some background, Jesus was in an area known for its pagan worship. The statues of their gods were all represented there in different alcoves. You can see it on the screen that exists till today. It was also a place where many sacrifices of animals took place to the different gods. So he was standing in front of this area, and this area was called the Gates of Hell because of all the debauchery in the place. And he asked his disciples two questions. Two questions. The first one was, who do people say the Son of God is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Actually, this is a question that you and I have to answer for ourselves. Who does culture say I am? Who does culture say I am? We're living in a growing global anti-Christian, anti-Jesus culture right now. And if we aren't careful as we scroll through Instagram, TikTok, any social media, before we know it, what the culture believes will bleed into our own belief of who Jesus is. So they believed he is a good man, a prophet, a truth teller, but you've got to understand, they didn't believe or recognize him for who he really was. It's the same as our culture today. And Jesus continued, now that you've kind of identified who the culture says I am, verse 15, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And so what about you this morning? Who do you say that Jesus is. Now, as you know, I love Peter. Amen. I spoke about him over the Easter weekend. He was somebody who was spontaneous, was always talking before he thought, always doing before he thought of the consequences. I can relate to him. Yet in this moment, Peter responds with this brilliant answer. He said to Jesus, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." In spite of how Peter usually responded and didn't fit into the box of what a follower of Jesus should look like, he gave an A-plus answer. And this is an outstanding response that came from God the Father. Carries on verse 18. "And I tell you that you are Peter, pebble, and on this rock," solid rock, what rock? The rock of the revelation that he had just spoken. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He says, "On that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Come on, say with me. "And whatever you loose on earth," amen, giving authority, "will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is an incredible portion of scripture that has been distorted by some religious organizations. But I've been following Jesus for 52 years, and I'm always seeing stuff fresh in the Word of God. Do you know why that can be? You know, sometimes you just see something new that you've never seen before. Because it's being breathed into by God. You've got to understand that there are layers of revelation and understanding. And the Bible is God's character. And I love this because Peter got his identity and his authority because he understood who Christ was. Did you hear me? It's important that you get this. Peter got his identity and his authority because he understood who Christ was. You can't find your identity and get your authority unless you first know who Jesus is. It comes out of that. Now, how do I know that? Jesus renamed him Petros. You know, he, right there he gets this name. The Greek word Petros means a small rock, a stone. But upon the Petra, the solid rock. And so we see from these words, we learn that it was not upon Peter as a man that the church would be built, but upon the bedrock of this solid, rock solid revelation of who Christ is. And even though Peter didn't feel like a rock, Jesus named him as he saw him, as he saw what he was going to become, how he was to be. And then he said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind will be bound. What you loose will be loosed." He gave him authority. And this is powerful. And Jesus tells his disciples right there that the gates of hell will not prevail, will not overcome the church. It was profound because Jesus was standing in front of what was called the gates of hell. And he said, it doesn't matter what God is being worshipped or who culture says that I am. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. No political divisiveness or racial division. It doesn't matter what the culture says. And 2,000 years later, we can stand on this promise. It doesn't matter if the culture says the church is irrelevant today. I don't care what they say. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I don't want you to miss what follows. Stay with me. You've got to follow, because I'm talking about what followed, what just took place. Because Peter must have been feeling pretty good about this. Whoa, he's just been commended by Jesus. He must have been thinking like, whoa, you know, now's the time for the T-shirt with my name on it, right? Hashtag Peter. Hashtag, you know, the winner, praise God. You know, everybody's going to have my T-shirt. He's like really good. So they continue on towards Jerusalem, you know, and Jesus is a few days away from the cross. And he is consistently preparing his disciples for it by telling them that he is going to die and he's going to be raised again. But truthfully, they had no context for what he was saying. So Peter, now fueled by his win, decides he's going to take Jesus aside and say, "Never, Lord. This doesn't have to happen to you." Verse 22. You don't have to go to the cross, because what we're seeing right now, Lord, is really amazing. You are being hailed by everybody, everywhere. The dead are coming to life. Blind eyes are being opened. The lame are walking. Jesus, we've never seen crowds like this before, ever. You know, and they're following you. And the teaching that you're giving is so inspiring. You don't have to end this beautiful moment by going to the cross. Never. Let's read together what Jesus says back to Peter in that moment of his divine revelation. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Please don't turn to anybody now and say that. All right. Look at me. All right. "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Now, obviously, Jesus was not calling Peter actually Satan, but he was saying that what Peter had just said was from the enemy, that he didn't have to go to the cross and give his life. He was saying, you had a rock solid revelation that I am the Messiah, I am the Son of the living God. But now the revelation you have is a stumbling block. You've gone from a rock solid revelation of who I am to a stumbling block revelation of who I am. And truthfully, I can do that in a nanosecond. I can identify. Anybody with me? Amen? I'm like, "Yay, he's the Messiah." And then I'm like, "What? He's not doing what I think he should do in my life." And Jesus wanted to teach Peter a lesson that we all need to hold on to. What did he say to him first? "Get behind me." And for me, it was as I read this, "Get behind me," there was a revelation. Do you remember the first calling that Peter had on his life? When Jesus found him on the seashore, it was when he was fishing. Jesus said to him, "Follow me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." So if Peter was following Jesus, Jesus wouldn't have had to say, "Get behind me." Are you with me? Here he was saying to him, "You forgot to follow and you're trying to lead." Why? Because Jesus wasn't going to show up the way Peter wanted him to. He had just said to him, "I'm going to suffer. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die and be raised again." Peter hasn't any context for this. And so he wasn't sure what the future was going to look like. He knew they were in this incredible move of God, and now Jesus was saying he's going to end it all. I don't understand what's happening right now, and I'm not comfortable with that Jesus. I'm comfortable with the powerful Jesus, the Jesus who shows up with powerful answers. I'm not comfortable with the Jesus who requires restraint in my life. I'm not comfortable being made to wait for the answer, you know, when the future doesn't look like I want it to look. I'm not comfortable with that Jesus. I'm comfortable with the Jesus who gives me the promotion when I need it and when I want it. Not my co-worker, but me. When I prayed for my business to take off and it hasn't taken off yet, I'm not comfortable with a Jesus who is not answering my prayers the way I want him to answer my prayers. Or I've been single forever. I've been looking for that man and he's not in church. Or that girl is not in church. You're praying and praying for that spouse and it's taking longer than you want. And you're not comfortable anymore. "Well, I want a man who is," you know, people write lists. "I want a man who is financially responsible." He lives in his mother's basement. "Well, he's good with women and I'm good financially." So instead of allowing Jesus to lead us, all of a sudden, we've pulled out in front. I need it this way when I want it. I need it when I want it. And because I'm living in a culture right now that is instant, I expect God to be instant. And all of us are a bit of a control freak. Especially my wife. We like to control the outcomes. And when we do that, we go from a rock solid revelation to a stumbling block. We become our own stumbling block in the process because we are trying to do it in our own strength. And in the process, we can lose our identity and can lose sight of our authority. It becomes based on our gifting and our experience rather than the power that comes from God. And then when we look at the character of God, we are basing it on the outcome rather than on who He is. So we are actually controlling how God is positioned in our life. Bob Goff said this, "The way we deal with uncertainty says a lot about whether Jesus is in front of us leading us or behind us just carrying our stuff." Think about that. The way we deal with uncertainty says a lot about whether Jesus is ahead of us leading or behind us just carrying our stuff. So often, or I should say God often, leads us into the unknown. Listen to me. Fear can't be trusted. Oftentimes we trust in our fear more than we trust in God. And then feel like Jesus just can't be trusted. God is busy making you. God is busy molding you as you follow Him. We're the ones that pray for an oak tree and He says, "No, I'll give you an acorn." He's giving you the seed and you're looking for the answer. I need an opportunity. I need the opportunity. And God says, "Okay, the opportunity is in the problem." And we can go from a rock solid revelation to a stumbling block revelation in a matter of moments. And some of you may be deconstructing your faith because Jesus didn't show up when you wanted Him to. Some of you are sitting and you're bored, or you're numb, or you're hurt because of whatever it is that you've walked through. And I want to encourage you today that the mercy of God never stops inviting us to follow. In fact, being an unbeliever does not disqualify you from following, nor does being a sinner disqualifying you from becoming a follower. We can unfold, I think, our future before us and say, "I'm going to go this way and that way." We look on Facebook, we look at things, we don't like what people say, so we just unfollow them. We can unfollow anybody on social media that we don't want to hear from anymore. But sometimes we do it with God. So as I shared in Easter, after the resurrection, Peter and the disciples went back to what was familiar. Amen? They went back to fishing. They didn't fully comprehend what had taken place, and they had no idea that Jesus had now shown up and He was on the seashore and He was watching them on the boat. And He calls out to them, "Hey, have you caught anything?" And they answered, "No, we've been fishing all night." This portion in John 21 is an exact replica of the story of when Jesus called Peter the first time. He gave him instructions on how to catch the fish and then said, "Follow me." And Jesus, you've got to understand, He's so kind. He's so gracious. He's so merciful that He never gives up on us. He says, even though you've chosen to go and do your own thing in your own time, He says, "I'm going to keep inviting you." And Jesus invites Peter four times. The first time when He called him, He said, "Follow me." Then when He said, "Get behind me," He was saying, "Follow me." The third time, and in verse 19, He says, "Follow me." He talked to Peter specifically, removing the shame from him because he had denied Jesus before the cross. And He was saying, "Listen to me, Peter, nothing you've done is bigger than my love and my grace for you." But Peter looked at another disciple and said, "Yo, Peter, what about him? He was talking about John, who wrote this and called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. I shared some of it. He says it all over the place. No competition at all. Peter was saying, what about him? He thinks he's pretty special. But Jesus said, no, you follow me. Verse 22. And one of the biggest things that happened to me is in my life is I start to compare my follow to somebody else's follow. Amen? I say, why am I being asked to do this, Lord? Why do I have to do this? Why does my following look harder than his? And Jesus is saying, because your assignment is different to theirs. You see, every single one of us in this room are called to follow. We've been called to follow. That's your calling. Your calling is to follow, not to be a doctor, a beautician, an engineer, a mom, a business owner, a waiter, whatever. That's not your calling. Your calling is to be a follower. The others are your assignment. This is important. Did you hear me? Your calling is to be a follower. The other things in your life is your assignment. And don't get them confused, because if you try and do the other as a calling and you forget to follow, you will start living entitled to an answer rather than entrusted with what he's already given you. Amen? Follow me. What was Jesus doing? He was taking the shame off Peter, because he knew what Peter didn't know. He knew what actually hung in the balance of Peter's following. He also knew who hung in the balance because of his following. Because just days later, Peter would be there on the day of Pentecost and receive an assignment from God that would require him to follow Jesus daily. And he led thousands to Christ. We are still talking about him today because Jesus continually reminded him to follow me. This is powerful when you get it. Amen. I think the battle that you might be experiencing in this season over you following Jesus has more to do with what you've been entrusted with than anything else. You've been entrusted with something that is powerful. In fact, Paul said to Timothy in Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it. Guard the entrustment, Timothy. Why? Because it can be stolen. And you only steal things that have value. And the enemy is going after you. And you are in a battle right now. And it has to do with you being valuable and the value of what God has entrusted to you. Do you understand? You are valuable. You've got to get that into your spirit. So valuable that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross for you. And the battle is to steal what God has already given you. He's not a hard taskmaster. We saw those promises from God, from Herod today. He is a gracious, loving God who consistently says, follow me. And if you didn't follow him yesterday, I want to say, shame off you. Shame off you. Not yet to shame you. All you have to do is come back to him and say, I'm sorry. You can do that today. If you took 3 steps back, I want to challenge you. Don't give up. Not at all. Just take another step forward. And if you go on this journey of following him, you will learn that the character of God is not based on the outcome, but on who he is. Amen? Now, even more mind-blowing than the fact that God trusted Peter is that God trusts us. God trusts me and God trusts you. He's the God of the universe. He created the universe. He created the galaxies. He knows the DNA in my entire body. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows my ups. He knows my downs. He knows what I did yesterday. He knows what I'm doing right now. And he knows my future. Because why? He's already there in my future. And yet I have a hard time trusting him. But he trusts me. Do you get that? He trusts me and he trusts you. Murderers wrote the Bible. Not every book of the Bible, but there are kings and queens, prostitutes, slaves, orphans, liars, deceivers, fakers, that God entrusted with the redemptive story of who he is. Are you going to get it perfect? Absolutely not. Did I? No ways. But I'm trying daily to surrender to God, who has given his life for me, because I don't want to miss what is entrusted to me. And so how do you follow? Here's your GPS. The Bible. The Bible is your GPS. And this is a GPS that you can trust. There's direction in there. The voice is in there. The Bible says this is the inspired word of God, which means the breathed into. So this is my oxygen. It's like putting an oxygen tank up to my life every single time I read it. It's a love story that shows us the character of the king. And the more you read it, even if you don't understand it at first, something happens on the inside of you. This is just not like ink that was printed on a page. This is the essence of who God is. It doesn't contain the word of God. It is the word of God. Follow him. How do you follow? Get connected. Get connected to a small life group. Do community. Do life together. Our life group start this week. Praise God. You can meet Dylan. Stand up, Dylan. He was on the keyboard earlier. Meet Dylan at the resource center afterwards, after the service, and say, hey, I'm interested in joining a life group. But I want to challenge you. If you say, I'm not ready for a life group, then I'll challenge you. Get connected. Serve on a dream team. No, I'm not ready to do that yet. Then stay after church for 10 minutes and connect with somebody and have a cup of coffee. But get connected. What I'm saying is we need to follow Jesus together. But here's what I want you to know today. God uses us in our imperfect state. And perhaps the battle over you is the entrustment that is put on you. Peter recognized that the resurrection wasn't just an event. It was a powerful event, but it wasn't just that. It wasn't just a moment in time. It was a powerful moment in time. You know, all of time begins at that point. It's not just a noun of an event. Resurrection is a verb. It's a lifestyle. And Peter learned that in order to follow Jesus, he had to practice the resurrection. What do I mean? There are choices every day that we want to make that will be death to our life. We can make it and it will bring death to our lives. But as we choose resurrection, we are saying, I don't understand this, but I'm choosing life today. You see, when you follow Jesus, you're not just imitating the ways he acts, because we're all imitators, right? What do you mean, Mark? Paul said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And we start that way. But the more we follow Christ, the more we get into his word, the more we invite him into our choices, then pretty soon imitation becomes importation in our lives. And we gain wisdom and we gain understanding and faith and trust. And before we know it, the importation has become transformation. And your character begins to look like that of the king. Amen. In Israel, they had a saying, and they still have it. May you be covered with the dust of your rabbi. I like it. May you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. May you follow so closely that we don't recognize you anymore, because all we can see is the dust of your rabbi. My point is, may you follow so closely that when people look at you, they see the one that you are following, the one who loves you the most, the one who's inviting you into a relationship with him. I love how Paul said it. He said this in 1 Corinthians 15. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. And I'm not about to let his grace go wasted. Here I am. Here I am. Perhaps you used to call yourself a follower of Jesus, but now you've hit the unfollow button. Maybe because of a medical issue, it feels like for you there's no hope. Perhaps you're just struggling, or you've been praying and praying and praying and praying and nothing seems to have changed. Maybe your finances have become overwhelming. I don't know what you're dealing with, but all of us have a life happens to us. So I want you to consider this. Are you actually following Jesus? Are you actually following Jesus? Perhaps you say, Mark, I don't even know what universe I'm in right now. But through it all, you've felt a tugging in your heart. Maybe you've been trying to do life in your own strength. You're trying to control things and it's not working out the way you want it to. Today could be the day that you realize that Jesus has been standing in front of you. He's been there consistently, no matter where you are on your journey. And he's saying to you, follow me. Follow me. And the response of here I am is a response to him. Team, you can come up. He first said, here I am, 2,000 years ago on the cross. He suffered. He bled. He carried your sin. He carried your pain. Took all your mistakes, your control issues, and everything that you've been trying to do on your own, in your own strength. He carried your past, all of it, 2,000 years ago when he hung on a cross. And he said to you, here I am. And he took it all on himself in exchange for when you say, here I am. When we surrender, he gives us redemption, restoration. He gives us peace. 52 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. I've walked with him for 52 years. For 52 years, I've followed Jesus. And this is what I can tell you. He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. You can follow him with your life. You can follow him. Let's pray. Let's just come before him, every head bowed, eye closed. Today is a day of choice. You get to choose who you're going to follow. So who are you following, or who are you going to follow? Because he's standing before you. He's standing before you saying, here I am. Follow me. Why? Because he loves you. And if you're here or watching online and you feel a tug in your heart, perhaps you're saying, Pastor Mark, that's me today. I need to follow him. I need a brand new beginning in Christ. I've done the motions, but I've actually been following my own dreams, my own heart, trying to do it in my own strength. And I'm weary. Today I'm going to listen to that voice that says, follow me. And say, here I am. I'm going to give him my past, my failures, my hurts, my pain, the abuse I went through. I'm going to give it all to him. And he's going to lead me into a new life of authority, knowing who he is. If that's you, every head bowed, eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But I am going to say to you that if that is you, I want to pray for you. And as an indication to me and God, just lift your hand up and put it down, and I'll know to pray. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Those with your hands up, you can put them down. I don't want to miss somebody else. You're fighting a battle right now. I'm telling you now to be bold. Be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Right now, that battle, there's an enemy that wants to come and steal, rob, take away your future. Today's your day to say no. Is there anybody else to join those many hands that went up? Mark, pray for me. I'm here today. I'm coming home today. I'm going to follow him. Today, I'm not going to have religion, but a relationship. In Jesus' name, your heart's beating. You know it's you. I challenge you, every head bowed, eye closed. Be bold in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.